This is KHOI, Story City, Ames, and surrounding area.
Support for KHOI comes from the Ames Community Arts Council, presenting the Ames Artists Studio Tour, Saturday and Sunday, October 1st and 2nd. Artists will open their studios for tours and hands-on demonstrations. Details at amesart.org.
Local Talk Tuesday, where we explore the people, places, stories, and events of our Central Iowa community. Thank you for tuning in. I am Mike Metz, your host for the hour, along with Pat Schillerbaum and station manager Mike Murphy.
Our day starts with mostly sunny skies and temperatures reaching a high of 67 degrees, so you can anticipate another day of glorious sunshine. Winds will be from the north-northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. This evening, we will see mostly clear skies with light northeast winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overnight temperatures will drop to 33 degrees. Sunset this evening occurs 2 minutes after 7. Our current temperature is 43 degrees.
And for those folks, Pat, who are like to see the planets, Jupiter is at its closest in the eastern sky just after sunset. Closest it's been in about 59, 60 years. You might even see a satellite or two of it if you get out your powerful binoculars. Mm-hmm. So enjoy the evening. Anna McCracken, founder of the Ames Writers Collective, has joined us this morning, and we're going to talk about the first anniversary event that's going to happen this October 1st. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
We're doing well here. I hope with the sunrises that seem to be a little bit later that you're at least bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning. So.
Hey, I'm not a morning person, but I've had a good jolt of coffee.
There we go. Well, hopefully you're awake enough that we can visit about the event that's happening this the October 1st. So, World Meets Art, what is this all about?
Oh, you mean the Words Meet Art event that we launched our the Ames Writers Collective with last year?
Right.
Yeah. Last year, we launched the Ames Writers Collective with an event called Words Meet Art. And it was an event that writers submitted their writing to. And through a blind read, we chose 10 writers. And we paired them with artwork that was at the Octagon Art Gallery last year. And they had 48 hours to write a story. And then they got up at the Octagon and they read their pieces. If they weren't able to read them live or couldn't get into town, because several of the authors actually lived outside of Ames, I read their work for them. So it was quite an event. We had standing room only, and we heard poetry and fiction and a couple nonfiction, creative nonfiction pieces.
Okay. Are some of those writers who you're going to have this year, or is it going to be a different group of writers?
Well, on this weekend, it's a different thing because we've got a lot of different programs that are going on, but we plan to have the Words Meet Art as an annual event. We're working with the Brunier Gallery right now to use a couple of their gallery exhibits for another Words Meet Art event. But on Saturday, which is our exciting event, well, all of our events are exciting. It's called Music and Conversation Between Friends, and it's a celebration of our first anniversary. And so we're bringing in two authors from out of town, John T. Price, who actually taught it one time in the MFA program here at Iowa State, but he's now a professor of English and director of the Creative Nonfiction Writing Program at the University of Nebraska. He's an Iowan, and he's written several books, and his current book is called All Is Leaf, Essays and Transformations. So I'm quite a fan of his. I've read his writing when I was a later-in-life student in the MFA program. So I invited him this summer to come to Ames. And then he is actually the inspiration for the whole thing because he thought, well, hey, if I'm coming, why don't I invite my friend Tom Montgomery Fate, who is also a former Ames resident but now lives in Chicago. And he's also written quite a few books, and he'll be here talking with John about his book, The Long Way Home, Detours and Discoveries. And so they'll kick off the event.
Okay, so this will be a conversation between the two of them as kind of the keynote conversation. I assume that's how you're looking at it.
That's a good word, keynote conversation. Okay. They'll kick off the event, and then we'll have a brief intermission. And then Deb Marquardt, who many of our listeners know, she is getting her band back together, the Bone People. I know that one time they were quite popular, and they've been in the studio in Cedar Rapids recording a new album. And so they're going to they'll conclude our program, the last hour of our program. And it's on Saturday at Stevens Auditorium in the Goldfinch Room from 6 to 9 p.m.
Oh, that's just a great program. This is Pat Schlarbaum, Anna.
Hi.
Deb Marquardt. Hi, and Deb Marquardt's Bone People. Wow. That's worth the price of admission right there.
I know, you know, because tables are still available.
Yeah.
And then we have general admission.
Well, just kind of go over some of those events, what we might expect after that keynote conversation.
So I lead ongoing writing through cancer circles. I'm doing those in partnership with the William R. Bliss Cancer Center. We've been doing those since March of this year. And writers and I come together over Zoom, and we write pieces of our writing that are inspired by writing prompts. And it's quite actually cathartic and healing for the patients who are writing with me. One of the patients says that it's helped her get through her chemo brain. And Steve Sullivan, who's the director of marketing community outreach at Mary Greeley Medical Center, did a video about us. So if people want to learn more about us, they can find it on our news page at AmesWritersCollective.org.
It's often been said that music and getting outdoors are some great ways to natural therapy and inner therapy. How does writing fit into that?
So, you know, it's kind of interesting because the modality that I use is based on the idea that everyone's a writer. And so we give these writing prompts, and I encourage people to write by hand, but they can type if they want to. But, you know, we'll get a prompt like, I remember. And then they just start writing from I remember. And we'll do it timed so it doesn't leave you a lot of time to think about things and edit. And after we write, we read our pieces to each other. So a lot of times in this group, they'll write about their cancer experiences. And it becomes quite cathartic for them because the group sort of becomes a sort of support group. They are a support group for each other. And, you know, we don't delve deeply into things, but enough that they feel like they can talk and be heard. And, you know, we started this right at the tail end of COVID, and we had hoped to have these in person at the Bliss Cancer Resource Center, but it's just worked out to have them on Zoom. But they were feeling really isolated, so it helps them not to feel so isolated.
Okay. You know, you say that there's a writer, or everybody is a writer, writer in all of us. And I would, at least in my case, tend to agree. But my problem is there's this procrastination thing that, oh, I should start journaling. And maybe I do a day or two, and then I let it go. And I'm always scribbling notes on a piece of paper, and I throw them in this shoebox or this other box, and it's not, there's no real order to it. Is that okay? I mean, when they start the Mike Metz Archive Library of the World, who's going to take care of that stuff?
You know, actually, it's funny because the class I'm teaching for Ollie right now, which is titled Just Let's Write Together, there's a couple people who want more more than just coming together and writing your writing prompts, which we're doing. But there's 13 of us in the class, and which is a rather large, it oversold. And most of the group is there because they're procrastinators, and they want to have this weekly touch point to keep their writing going. And so these writing prompts that we do the same thing that we're doing in the cancer group. We write together on Zoom, and then we read our writing out loud.
Okay.
And because the group is large, they write over the weekend, and then we come together and we read that piece of writing. So they're generating work. These are generative workshops.
Okay. So let's talk about Ollie for just a minute, Anna. Yeah. How did you get involved in that, and who's our target audience there?
So the target audience, I call them the 50, what did I call them on my website? Because, you know, it's 50 plus writers. Mm-hmm. I call these, I have a community, I do community outreach programs. So okay. I call them the 50 plus writers. And basically you have to be 50 years old to join the OLLI club. So I'm part of that club. So I was an MFA student here at Iowa State, mm-hmm. just graduated last year with my MFA in creative writing and environment. And while I was there, Deb Marquardt asked me if OLLI had reached out asking if someone would teach a writing class. And so because I wasn't TAing because I didn't need to, I said, sure, I'll teach OLLI. And I taught a class about something I wanted to write, which was writing short. So my first class was no one could write anything over 350 words. The class balked and we moved it up to 750 words.
Okay. Well, you know, you mentioned the age, and Sam Wormley is just, he teaches everything, it seems like, but I've had the privilege to teach a few of those classes. And our line is that, you know, you have to be 50 plus, but we don't card anybody.
So. Yeah, I've actually wondered about a couple of my students if they're actually 50, but, you know, if they claim to be.
Yeah. Well, how about, let's talk about some of the other projects you're involved with. You've got the Swift Youth Writers Workshop. What's that about?
So that was the Rotary Club of Ames funded that. It was with a community grant. And I launched that last summer for youth writers because I had this feeling that not all kids like to do sports, and that there's a whole lot of writers, kid writers here in Ames, and I know that from the library. So it's basically the same concept. We came together, 12 kids and I and a facilitator from the MFA program who got an honorarium for helping me out. We came together and we wrote to writing prompts. And it was really interesting because when they first showed up, they didn't want to read out loud. And I like to tell a story about how a couple of the girls showed up with their hair hanging in their faces the first day and, you know, just weren't going to say a word. And by the end of the week, their hair was pulled back. Everyone in the room was sitting straighter and they were reading their writing out loud. And it was really inspirational because it sort of, you could tell that it lifted them up. And when you read your writing out loud, it gives you the sense that, yes, I am a writer. And so it's very affirming.
What a confidence builder, it sounds like. Yeah. You know, just find yourself and express yourself and share it with others.
Right. Yeah. So we'll do more of those over the winter and next summer.
Okay. Are there some other projects you've got that you want to discuss here briefly? We're a couple of minutes.
Almost out of time.
Yeah. Fast.
We have an author spotlight series, which we kicked off last year with mm-hmm. an author from San Francisco, but we're kicking off the season this Thursday at KHOI at 6:30, from 6:30 to 8, with local author Dennis Maltby, who's a poet. He's been on here last week with me. Mm-hmm. But I'm working with Lynn Carey and KHOI to host these events. So we're doing that in partnership with each other. So we hope to have these as a monthly sort of affair.
Yeah, we're looking forward to having that as a new edition. And that's what community radio is about, is to get local literary, music, just the various things, that the skills and interests and hobbies that people have here in the community. We want to share that with everybody. And this is a great way to do that. So appreciate that you're willing to step forward and help promote that.
Yeah. So I think since we're almost out of time, I'll just give the website.
Sure.
People want to learn about our music and art. Music and conversation between friends happening this weekend at Stevens Auditorium in the Goldfinch Room from 6 to 9 p.m. They can just go straight to our website at ameswriterscollective.org. And right, if you just scroll down, it's one of the first things on our homepage.
Okay. That sounds great. That's Anna McCracken, and we sure look forward to getting together with you this Saturday, October the 1st. I guess it is this Saturday. And
right.
Get that going. And I also look forward to the Thursday evenings with you. So thanks, yeah. Hannah.
Thanks so much, Mike.
Today, when you see me fly away without you, shadow on the things you know, feathers fall around you and show you. It's over. It's over.
And that was Linda Ronstadt singing part of Neil Young's Birds. And part of the reason I played that was because of her Mexican heritage. I could not find a version of that, of her singing that in Spanish, and I really would have loved to. But
what a great rendition for Hispanic Heritage Month.
Yeah.
My goodness. That was.
Pat is still can't get over the Blue Bayou version in Spanish.
In Spanish.
Yeah.
That was really stellar.
Well, if you're just joining us, it's about 17 minutes after the hour. I'm Mike Metz, and hosting the program along with Pat Schlierbaum and Mike Murphy. And we want to welcome Brad Dell, Iowa State Department of Music and Theater. And we're going to talk about a new program that we're inaugurating here on KHOI. And good morning, Brad. Let's tell us a little bit about this program.
Good morning. Well, it's just a pleasure to be on this morning. Thanks so much for the invitation to chat with you and the wonderful folks here in Ames and the surrounding communities. I'm really excited that this week we're going to be launching the first ever ISU Music and Theater Radio Hour here on KHOI. It's going to be happening right now monthly, the last Thursday of the month at noon. And I'm particularly honored and excited for that to be our time slot, as that used to be Carol Horowitz's KHOI Previews the Arts time slot. Carol, such an incredible arts advocate and supporter of our department and everything arts and Ames. And we're just so honored and grateful to be able to continue her incredible legacy of celebrating the arts during that noon hour on Thursdays.
Yeah, Carol Horowitz's passing last year, it's left an opening that, my goodness, what a wonderful testimonial to what she established here at KHOI. And you're following through. It's just really honoring the airwaves. Thank you so much, Brad.
Yeah, Brad, I know. Yeah, this will be a new revisit, I suppose we could say, a new rendition. But so glad that you're willing to step up and take part in that.
You bet. And so what we're kind of imagining is sharing some music that is likely going to be some rebroadcast of some concerts or productions or play readings that are going on here in the Department of Music and Theater at Iowa State. And then in addition, including some interviews with the artists who took part in those performances, and both students and faculty and staff. And so, for example, the first show that will be on Thursday at noon is going to be a rebroadcast of highlights from our faculty fanfare concert that started the semester a couple of weeks ago that includes performances from many of the Department of Music and Theater faculty, and then concludes with an interview with the namesake of Music Hall at Iowa State, Simon Estes, Dr. Simon Estes. And it's a really lovely interview that talks about his final performance, his final opera performance in Porgy and Bess this summer, and kind of what his career has meant to him and what being a member of the ISU Music and Theater faculty means to him. So it's a really special interview, and we're really grateful to be able to rebroadcast that as part of this debut launch of the ISU Music and Theater Radio Hour.
Now, I know it's called ISU, but are you going to be looking for students within the community or other individuals within the community? I'm thinking about, you know, as this increases, I know there's we're only doing this once a month at this time, but do you foresee that as a possibility?
I think right now we're going to probably keep it. We have so much to feature and celebrate in the Department of Music and Theater that I think right now we're probably going to keep it in house, because there's just so many wonderful and exciting things going on and people to feature and to celebrate. So I'm really excited about that. I think that there's it's going to be an opportunity for, you know, for the Department of Music and Theater to have a even a greater connection and another way to connect out into the community. So I'm excited about that. And what will also be a part of the show every month is just a preview of upcoming attractions, mm-hmm. Of what we've got going on. So to hopefully just spread the word about all the many wonderful and exciting events that are upcoming in our department.
Well, it seems like there's more of a need to get that word out. It's one of those areas that folks don't often think about when they think about the university. Mm-hmm. Unless you're within a certain circle of individuals, I would say it's something that's maybe not necessarily ignored, but just not thought about when you think about Iowa State or any university in general. And we're glad that you're able to step up and do this, Brad.
Oh, you bet. We're excited to, you know, we like to think of ourselves as one of the doorsteps to the university, and also one of the doorsteps to the Ames community, and a place for folks to experience really world-class performing arts entertainment in such a wide variety of genres and interests. And I'm going to be excited down the road to feature our incredible jazz program and the opera studio program. The theater program is launching a theater podcast, and I'm hoping that that will be one of the upcoming features, and some play readings, and you know, just many kinds of the different nooks and crannies and niches, mm-hmm. of exciting and interesting and dynamic things that our department is doing. I think there's going to be some really neat ways to celebrate all the variety of different extraordinary talents and interests that our department has to offer.
The outreach that you're presenting, Mr. Deal, is just nothing short of phenomenal, because you bring us the universe. And when you mention world-class performers, and how fortunate we are in the Ames, big Iowa farm town, just like a lot of Iowa towns, but there's a university here, and to have this outreach is just puts a human dimension to, as you say, world-class entertainment. We're all just
absolutely,
yeah. So what a wonderful program that you've mapped out for us.
Well, thank you. And I'm really excited to, you know, the idea, much like what Carol did, yeah, when with her radio show, will be to both hear and listen to the music or the performances or the plays, and then to get to hear from the artists themselves about their process and their work and who they are as people and what excites them and makes them tick. I think it's going to be a really interesting way to explore both the art and the humans that are connected to making that art here in the Department of Music and Theater and within the Ames community.
Speaking about connections and some of the backstories, tell us a little bit about you, Brad. What's your backstory?
Yeah. You bet. So this is actually my 18th year here at Iowa State. Mm-hmm. I became the chair of the Department of Music and Theater back in July of 2021.
Congratulations.
And thank you. Incredibly grateful to be in this position. It's a wonderful opportunity to be a part and lead an incredible group of people and an amazing amazing collection of students and so many exciting things that I get to be a part of and help to celebrate and uplift. Before that, I was the director of theater for a few years, and I come from the theater area. I've directed many of the musicals and operas that ISU Theater has put on over the last 18 years. And before that, I got my master's in directing from Western Illinois University. And I'm originally from Greensburg, Pennsylvania, where my parents still live. And I have siblings in Colorado and Ohio. But I really love being an Iowan and am grateful to have spent the last 18 years here in Ames.
It's one of those, you've got a lot of connections, family spread out, but sounds like Iowa, you've made it your home.
Yeah, for sure. I just have grown quite an affinity for this wonderful place, and particularly, you know, the Ames community is such a vibrant, diverse, and I think community is the right word. Folks who care so much about one another and this community. I think it's a really empowering and inspiring place to live.
Well, Brad, as we close this segment, have you got any last minute words for our audience? Maybe you want to repeat the inaugural program.
Yeah, you bet. So we're just really thrilled to be launching the ISU Music and Theater Radio Hour this week, which will be music and performances and stories from the Department of Music and Theater, and that is going to launch on Thursday at noon here on KHOI, and it will at least for now be the last Thursday of the month. And so you can look for us at KHOI Thursdays at noon, the last Thursday of the month, with the ISU Music and Theater Radio Hour. And I would also just encourage folks to go to music.iastate.edu to kind of explore all the wonderful and exciting, both in-person and virtual, music and theater events that we have to offer. We would love to see everyone in the theater, in the recital hall, or at Stevens Auditorium or Ames City Auditorium to take in one of our outstanding upcoming productions, concerts, or recitals.
Brad Dell, thank you very much. Chair of the Department of the Iowa State Music and Theater. Thanks again. We look forward to Thursdays once a month, but here it comes this week. So thank you again.
Thank you so much. What a pleasure.
And
take care.
Should I say break a leg?
You bet.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Brad.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. When you've got worries,
and we're going downtown to visit with Susan Guiazda. Good morning, Susan. I'm laughing because I can see.
Oh, there
we go. Welcome.
Yeah, I know. I'm having a little technical difficulty this morning.
It looked like you just didn't have the touch in your finger there for the button.
That's true. I can't. Yeah, that's funny. Well, good morning. What a great morning it is. Another beautiful fall day. I hope everybody gets out and enjoys it. Just a couple of announcements before I introduce our guest today. Just coming up this Saturday is the Return of the Eco Fair. I've gotten a lot of questions about it recently. Eco Fair will be 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday in the west parking lot of City Hall. It's the return of sustainability information, programs, everything, all things sustainable, but also nonprofit organizations, vendors. There'll be an electric car display, a city fleet vehicle display, and a lot of information for those who want to learn about rebates, energy efficiency appliances, anything. So it's just a great event. And somebody asked me recently about where to park, which is a great question for a sustainability event. Obviously, we encourage people to take public transit, walk, or bike, but that isn't for everybody. So just a reminder that there is a lot that was built north of City Hall, just across from the auditorium on 6th Street. That lot will have parking in it. Also, the city sustainability booth will not take up the entire west parking lot. So there is a smaller parking lot by the Veterans Memorial close to Grand Avenue. So that is a smaller lot. Also, just south of Main Street, what I call sort of south of Aunt Maud's or the old Kosama building, right. There's another lot there. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, farmers market's going on, so there'll be a lot of competition. But there'll also be a lot of turnover. People will be moving in and out of street parking, the lots behind Main Street. So, yes, it may be a little bit challenging, but I think we can all be creative and maybe walk a little bit if we can. And if we drive, those slots will turn over if you're just patient.
You know, you've mentioned turnover twice. Is your particular booth going to be handing out turnovers? Apple or cherry?
No, we're actually, that's a great question. I will be at a booth. There will be things handed out at booths. I'm not sure that turnovers are on the list, but we'll be asking people to take a sustainability pledge, which we've done at EcoFair before, basically filling out a leaf, attaching it to a tree and saying, I pledged to, and then sort of mentioning what thing you're going to try to do. This idea that if you write it down, it becomes something that you become a little bit more committed to. And then we'll do a drawing from those leaves, and one person will win the tree. So we want to do a tree planting. So hopefully somebody will take that tree home and plant it. So that would be just another way of making our giveaways even sustainable.
I'm going to have to try to sign up a whole bunch of leaves. I'll be in disguise. That sounds great.
You got to commit to a lot of things.
Wear your camouflage, Mike Metz.
There you go. Pat thinks I am committed, so in a wrong way. So, any other announcements, Susan, before we talk about?
Well, yeah, sure. One more thing. We do have a city council meeting tonight. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of free meetings. There'll be a conference board meeting and then an AMPO meeting or a transportation planning meeting. And then the actual regular business of the city council will start around 6 p.m. And, of course, if you're curious about what's on the agenda, we encourage you to go to our website, cityofames.org/ccmeetings. You can look up all the council meetings, past meetings, and see the current meeting and all the supplemental material that all the council members get. You get the whole packet that everybody sees. And take a look at those items and see if there's anything you're particularly interested in.
Okay. Your guest this morning, Dwayne Pitcher. This might be his swan song, I hear? At least with
this
the city
is
of Ames.
This is his last week. I've known Dwayne for nearly 20 years. We've worked together at 2 cities. I cannot believe this day is really, really coming. It's on the horizon. And I just thought it might be a great time for Dwayne to kind of reflect back on his years in municipal finance and what he's learned and what's different and what the future looks like.
Well, welcome again to Local Talk, Dwayne. Would you care to reflect? Oh, we're not hearing you. Our audio is...
He apparently doesn't have a lot to say.
Yeah. Try to unmute yourself there one more time. Well, as he's working,
we can try to guess.
Yeah, as he's working on that, Susan, you said you had the opportunity to work with him in Dubuque. So
I did.
Did you follow in his footsteps, or did you get here first?
No, Dwayne, actually, I had not been in Dubuque very long when he came to my office and told me he was considering a move to Ames. And what did I think of Ames? Because he had heard that I was from here. Mm-hmm. And we had a nice conversation about the different neighborhoods in Ames, the schools, all the questions you'd have when you're moving to a new community and you have kids. And I was thinking about that. So Dwayne was moving with his two kids. I probably had two kids at that point. And when I moved to Ames, I had four. So it was, I moved a couple of years later. It was great to see him and have a familiar face when I got to the city of Ames. It's funny for us to talk about differences between the ways that municipalities are run. You get to learn from working at different municipalities why cities do things one way and what works best for them in one situation. I think having experience at different places, Dwayne will talk about, he actually worked in the private sector, which is also helpful. Mm-hmm. So when you're trying to tackle a new job and understand the landscape, drawing on that experience, both at other cities and then in the private sector, is really helpful.
Well, I hope we can... get him to join in, because I want to ask him the name of his business. Apparently, he's going to start after he retires. And try it again, Dwayne. Okay, go for it.
I'm not hearing you.
I'm not either.
Dwayne, you can try on your phone. I have good luck on my phone. Some other things that are coming up, Mike, if you can just take a few moments.
Sure.
Because we have a bunch of events coming up. And I know we've talked about these before, but they're so important that I don't want people to forget. Of course, we have the community conversations as part of a mental health series that the mayor and Julie Saxton, our police department, are involved in. Those are coming up on Tuesday, October 4th. That is the first Tuesday of the month. So it's a non-council Tuesday, so there's no interference. That will be at the Ames Public Library, 6:30 to 8:30. I really encourage people who are seeking more information on mental health, who have somebody in their life that is suffering from mental health issues. It's a great way to learn how you can be supportive or signs to look for. I think I've talked a little bit about my own experience with my children. Mm-hmm. And you're sort of lost sometimes when you're dealing with kids going through teenage years and you don't know, is this normal or is this something that I should seek outside help with? It can be a little challenging. And so this is the kind of information that we want to make sure people are aware of, is that there is help out there and there are people that are going through similar situations. So this is the first one. They're called Community Conversations, and they're scheduled all the way into next year. And so we'll continue to push out information. Each one has a different topic.
And Susan, concerning that, does that have, is there peer group help as well, hints, pointers, that kind of thing? Or
what they're going to have at this community conversation on suicide is somebody sharing their personal story. One of our firefighters, Sarah Chingren, who lost her son to suicide, but also the organizations and medical organizations like Mary Greeley, organizations like YSS, those organizations that deal with mental health concerns, they'll each talk about the services available and how to get help if you need it for yourself or for a loved one. I think that's really valuable information, because sometimes you're just sitting there and you don't know where to turn. Mm-hmm. Because you've never experienced this problem before and you just don't even know if it's something that you should be concerned about. So there's just a lot of unknowns.
Sure.
When it comes to mental health issues, and it's really helpful to have some resources available.
So. Speaking of resources, let's try this financial guy again. Dwayne, can you, have you connected?
I don't know. No. It's a mystery.
Yeah.
It's a mystery.
Maybe his department didn't get the right budget and you guys just cut him off or something.
Yeah, we cut him off already, huh? So he's only got a couple days left.
and he just dropped out again. I'm sorry, Susan. But
I just appreciate the opportunity to talk. I mean, I can reminisce about Dwayne. That's awesome.
Sure. Go for it.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, Dwayne has been our leading our finance department for 22 years. He's the person behind the budget. He deals with all the financial questions. He actually, I think people don't understand, in the city of Ames, our information technology, our IT department, is under finance, which is a little unusual. Also, he handles purchasing division, the utility billing customer service division, and the print shop, which people don't even realize we have, is all under the finance department. So he has a rather large department. He is in charge of a lot of different specialty areas, and he just has a huge breadth of knowledge. And of course, his retirement, while we welcome it and we're excited for him, he clearly will be missed at the City of Ames. He will be hard to replace.
I was going to ask him that. I hope when somebody stepped into that open position, you know, we've had a couple of small communities in the state that for one reason or another didn't file in time and lost some major funding. And I would assume he's really right on as far as doing things like that.
You know, our budget process has already started.
Yeah.
We have never missed, to my knowledge, of filing, submitting our budget needs to go to the state by the end of March. It used to be March 15th. It's now the end of March. You know, we have a schedule laid out where I have known when my budget, we meet with finance to do an overview of our budget. I already have that scheduled. I knew of that in the summer. So mine is coming up in November. Your budget is overviewed. The days that it's going to go before the council are scheduled months in advance. There's just no, there's no surprises in this process because it is laid out in the idea that the budget will be approved by the city council and then submitted to the state of Iowa by the end of March. And I don't think we varied from that at all. I can't think of one time where we've moved any of those dates. We have just stayed on target, and that I give all credit to Dwayne and the finance department for shepherding that year after year and making sure that we hit those deadlines. They are so important. So I know that smaller cities can struggle with meeting those deadlines, but I have never seen a city like Ames not hit the deadlines, not get their budget in on time. And it's all because of all the pre-planning that is done. There are no surprises.
Yeah.
We know exactly when we need to get our information in.
Dwayne has rejoined us, we hope. Try it again.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, we
can. We can!
Yeah. Okay, so you have about 2 minutes, Dwayne, to reminisce, to tell us what your most challenging thing was. Seriously, are there any high points? Cover your high points in 1 minute, and then I'll ask you your challenges in the next.
Okay, well, high points, I'd say some of the big projects we've done here at Ames, Furman Aquatic Center, Fire Station 3, obviously the big water plant, that's the biggest project we've done. But, you know, I'd say the biggest, you know, kind of the day-to-day, all the great people we've had to work with, three great mayors, pretty stable staff, except we've had some turnover here lately. But biggest thing is living in a community that I really like and being part of helping make it that way.
Yeah, and I marvel at all of the construction projects and those things that go on, how you balance, how you, you know, I know you get folks that bid on certain things because you do have to hire outside, but I would assume that's a challenge for folks to work with you to stay in budget.
Well, most of it is bid out. So again, that has been a challenge lately. You know, with all the stimulus money, there's way more dollars chasing than there are people to do the project.
Mm.
So that's been very difficult lately.
What would you say what is your fondest memory of working with the City of Ames? One or two?
Oh, boy. Hey, you put me on the spot here.
Okay.
I wonder, Dwayne, this is Pat Schlarbaum. Ames has gone through a lot of growth. It seemed like for a number of years we were under 50,000 people, and now I guess pushing, is it 75,000?
For the students, yeah.
Close to 70, 66 something was the last census.
How did that transition go for your office?
Well, you know, I think for us it went pretty well. You know, the finance side of it scales without a whole lot of trouble. I think the bigger area would be in utilities. So we also run utility customer service.
And if you think about how geographically the city has grown a lot, you know, then there's meters to read in a much larger area and a much bigger customer base. And so far we've been able to do that with the same number of people, but it's because we've been able to invest quite a bit in technology to help do that also.
Okay. Well, in the last 30 seconds, you've got the microphone for your closing, your last statement to the Ames public here in the community. So go for it.
Well, you know, just thank you to everybody. It's a great community. You know, we have a lot of support for the different projects we do. And, you know, when you think about a big picture, what we're doing as a city, we're collecting property taxes and utility fees to do things that, that we want to do as a group that we couldn't do individually. And it works out to make a very nice community and a great place to live. And I'm retiring and intend to stay here. And hopefully that that good work keeps up.
Very good. Dwayne Pitcher, financial officer for and director for the City of Ames. Good luck on your retirement. I know in our case, those guys who retired around here seem to be busier than we used to be. But I guess we are enjoying what we do. So we hope for the best for you, Dwayne.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Want to welcome Rick Stewart, Libertarian candidate for the governor. Good morning, Rick.
Morning. How are you today?
We're doing pretty well. So, Rick, why do you want to run for this position? What's prompted you to run for the governor position?
Well, for me, that's a very easy question to answer. I want to shrink the government down to a reasonable size so it does not interfere in our lives as much as it does today. And it gives us a whole lot more freedom and liberty, the kind of freedom that our the first pioneers that came to Iowa wanted it when they started this great state. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have you run for office before? Let our listeners know about your background a little bit.
Yeah, I have run. In fact, this is the fifth time I've run for office. In 2014, I ran for United States Senate
right.
against Joni Ernst and Bruce Bailey. Braley. And in 2014, I ran for, or 2016, I ran for Linn County Sheriff. I came in second. In 2018, I ran for Iowa Secretary of Agriculture because I have a farm background. 2020, I ran for United States Senate again against Joni Ernst. She's the only person, or I should say, I'm the only person who's ever been beaten by Joni Ernst twice. So here I am back in 2022 running for governor.
Okay. Well, I thought maybe the third time would have been a charm if you would have, but I know she's not up for re-election at this point. But
well, she will be someday.
Oh, yeah. as all representatives are. What are your top three priorities that you look at? That you talk to folks about, what are your top three priorities as far as if you're elected, you successfully win the governorship?
Well, everybody that knows me knows that my number one priority is, and it has been for over 30 years, ending the America's drug war. Worst mistake ever America ever made. The only contender is the Civil War, but that only lasted 4 or 5 years, and the drug war has lasted well over 100 years already. It's time to end. It's not successful. The drug warriors need to admit that they've lost. They need to give up graciously. That we don't. There's no need for them to go down like I don't know, Putin or Hitler. Both of those people knew they'd lost their war, but they refused to give up. The drug warriors need to not make that mistake. The second thing that's important to me this year is that, eminent domain. Eminent domain is authorized by the Iowa Constitution, but eminent domain for private gain is not. And our current situation here in Iowa is we have four pipeline companies, private pipeline companies, by you, they aren't public, and they are trying to lease and or buy the land of Iowa landowners when the Iowa landowners don't want to lease or sell their land. That is not authorized by the Iowa Constitution. I'm absolutely and totally against it. And most other Iowans are too. Unfortunately, I'm afraid that one of my competitors for sure is in favor of this and is tightly wound up with the pipeline companies. And we're going to get it unless we vote against it. And the time and the place to vote against it is on November 8th for the governor's race, because I will stop that in its tracks. And finally, mental health is it's a crisis all across America. Interestingly enough, a number of foreign countries have done a much better job of dealing with mental health than we have. I have a particular desire to see MDMA-assisted therapy legalized in Iowa, because it's the most effective cure or medicine or treatment we have for PTSD. MDMA-assisted therapy is effective in 65% of PTSD cases. And we all know that it's our veterans that are suffering the most obviously from PTSD, although they aren't the only ones, because trauma is not confined to the boundaries of war. Trauma can occur in everybody's life, and PTSD can occur in everybody's life. MDMA-assisted therapy is practically a miracle cure. It's unbelievable. It's the best psychiatric medicine we have, but it's illegal. And I want people to understand, morphine is legal in Iowa. Methamphetamines are legal in Iowa. Cocaine is legal in Iowa. Of course, you have to have a prescription for all three of those, but they're legal. MDMA, this miraculous treatment, is illegal in any way in Iowa. Now, I've called for Governor Kim Reynolds to call an emergency special session of the Iowa legislature for the single purpose of legalizing MDMA therapy for our Iowa veterans. We have 70 Iowa veteran suicides every year. That's one or two every week. This is clearly an emergency when we have a medicine that's extremely, extremely effective, but it's illegal. So that needs to happen long before this coming election. If it were me, that would happen tomorrow. But we can't wait. We can't sit around. We can't say we'll figure this out later. By the way, MDMA-assisted therapy is going to be legal. It's already in phase 3 trials with the FDA. So this is not some rogue therapy that somebody on a street corner is trying to sell. This is well-established, well-researched, and extremely effective, the most effective treatment for PTSD ever. And all we have to do is make it legal. And that's something that the legislature should do tomorrow, not wait.
So that's one of your top 3 priorities. If we could circle back to eminent domain and the issues that are faced there, that's somewhat involved with the environment. What are your views on our current natural environment, some of those challenges? Where would that fall in your administration if you were successful?
Well, Iowa, most unfortunately, is well known as a very polluting state. In other words, we're a dirty state. We pollute a lot. The most obvious way that we pollute is we take that clean water that comes from God above us in the form of rain, and we turn it into filthy, disgusting water, and we ship it out of the state all the way down the Mississippi River to the Gulf of Mexico. Well, let me say this very clearly. Pollution is not allowed. I cannot pollute my neighbor's air, my neighbor's land, or my neighbor's water. But Iowa, as a state, is polluting our neighbor's water. I have a very, what I believe to be practical solution, which will cost taxpayers absolutely nothing. It's called my watershed proposal. Iowa has about 21 watersheds. So watershed is just all the water that goes into a particular river. And my proposal is to form watershed co-ops in every one of those watersheds, and then give very clear instructions to the people who own land in those watersheds. And that is not just farmers. I, for instance, own land in the Cedar River watershed. Therefore, I am responsible for making sure that none of the water that comes off of my land is polluting. You can't pollute, period. And watershed co-ops are given a simple instruction, which is the water that comes out of your watershed has to be just as clean or cleaner, but at least just as clean as the water that comes into your watershed. Okay, those are your instructions. The way we're going to measure that is we're going to put a meter at the bottom of the watershed. and we're going to meter the water that comes into the watershed, and it has to be as clean going out as it is when it comes in. I don't care how we do it. That's immaterial to me. I know that I will do my share because I'll have to do my share because I'll be a member of the watershed co-op, and the watershed co-op is going to give me directions to clean up my darn water. I think that's the most important issue for Iowa pollution. In terms of national pollution, of course, we're also ruining our environment with excess emissions of things that cause global warming. In Iowa, we're pretty much normal, except maybe we have a little bit more cattle than the average state. Methane is a polluter. Carbon dioxide is a polluter. And the federal government is failing miserably on this because everyone that has studied the issue knows that there's only one way to reduce carbon and methane emissions, and that's to tax them. We need a carbon tax. You always tax things that you don't want. Okay, you tax cigarettes. You tax alcohol. We need to tax carbon because we don't want carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
Okay,
and as we increase that.
I'm going to say on that note, we'll have to wrap up. How do folks get in touch with you if they're interested in supporting your campaign?
Well, that's really easy. All you have to do is know my name.
Okay.
My website is rickstewart.com.
Very good.
You can find that. I put my personal cell phone number out there for everybody because I answer my cell phone, and I'll be glad to talk to any Iowa member.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Rick Stewart, Libertarian candidate for the governor.
And Mr. Rick Stewart's phone number, if you want to get a hold of him, is 319-333-4449.
Our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting KHOI. And
we'll
see
you again on the radio.
On the radio.
Support for KHOI comes from the Ames Community Arts Council, presenting the Ames Artists Studio Tour, Saturday and Sunday, October 1st and 2nd. Artists will open their studios for tours and hands-on demonstrations. Details at amesart.org.
KHOI, Story City, Andy.